That's pretty lofty, but Sam has been saying that to me a long time in terms of worship leading. But I was telling some of the gang here in the prayer room that that period in our lives, I think anybody could lead worship, and it would have been powerful and anointed because God was there in His sovereignty. And so I just happened to be there, and it was. We have some great memories and stories. But more than dwelling on in the past, want to see what God is doing in the future here at SP. Amen. Because it's going to be greater than what we've ever seen in our lifetime, and truly believe that. Just to be fair to Pastor Sam about the whole forcing issue, that might be a little exaggerated, but you know, as pastors, we exaggerate. But let me say this: when Sam tells you something, then it usually happens, you know. So it's like predestination, free will. I guess I have a free will, but do I really? You know. So when he says you're going to be the next youth pastor, I'm not going to say no because he declared it, and so let it be. But you know, despite all that, you know, Sam has been an incredible leader and discipler. And like I mentioned last week, or last week, yesterday, that's where my mind is. The fruit that has come out of his leadership in terms of all of the pastors and leaders that he's raised up in all over the world is just amazing. So he does have the acquisition anointing. It seems like God has favor on his life to acquire just incredible stuff. And so this building that's walking distance, as he said, that's no big thing for God. That's no big deal. Seriously, I've seen the track record of Pastor Sam's life. This is no big deal. If there are people in this room who would hear the call of God in their lives and say, you know what, this is greater than any financial thing that I can sacrifice. It's not even a sacrifice. It's a pleasure to really give, to see God use that space to bring, you know, salvation to the world. I mean, if you think of it that way, I mean, how could you not give to that? That's just a God's going to use you guys. This morning, I'm really excited. I mean, usually morning or afternoon sessions are difficult, but of all the sessions of teaching and preaching, I'm really excited about this afternoon. So really appreciate you making it out here. I want to talk about names, and I know that's something that Pastor Sam has talked about often here at SP in terms of whatever your issue is, it's just a name, and there's a name above every other name, and his name is Jesus. But we're going to go even deeper into the name of God. Names are important. In the Jewish understanding of a person, a name represents their character, their essence, who they are. And so names are so important. And when our son was born, we struggled a little bit of, you know, there's of all the names, we wanted a cool, hip name, not necessarily a biblical name, but just something that just, you know, cool, because we got one shot, you know. One kid, we want to have a cool name, a name that he wouldn't get made fun of or bullied, you know. Like for me, my name, Eugene, I've always grown up hating my name because, at least in the States, it's a name associated with nerds, you know. And so bullies would pick on guys named Eugene, you know, and things like that. And so I grew up hating my name. And so I wanted to make sure that when we name our child, you know, that the name is going to be important. And so I wish I could say that there was a revelation from the Lord and he just granted to us. But for some reason, he gave us the name Elijah because we kind of thought that Eli was a cute name for a little Asian boy, you know, little Eli, and things like that. And it just happened that his name had significance. And now that his name is Elijah, and you think about the prophet Elijah, it's like, oh my gosh, what kind of pressure did I put on my son? I mean, first of all, he's a PK, and so now, you know, the pressure to be a pastor's kid is immense, and now he's named after one of the greatest prophets in the Bible, you know, who went through depression in his life, you know, and so it's like, my goodness, what pressure. But the significance of his name, as we'll go to define, is powerful, and so we want him to be like Elijah. And so God has a name, and his name is Yahweh. And like I mentioned, the name of a person in Jewish understanding of names describes his essence, his character. But for God, think about it. Does God really need a name? I mean, he's God. Can he be so defined and limited by a name? He's God. Does he even need a name? Or is there so much respect for him that we ought not to name him because a name would limit him? Does God need a name? Well, God, whether you realize it or not, and we'll see the scriptures, God's name is so important in understanding who he wants to communicate about himself. And so if you could open to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. We'll look at verse 13. And this is the whole story of Moses at the burning bush. You know, and God says, you know, I'm going to use you. I'm going to save my people. I've heard their cries. And Moses is all nervous. And he's saying, who am I, you know, that should lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And he says, I will be with you. And then we come to this verse that you're very familiar with. Moses says in verse 13, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God says to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Verse 15. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord. Now, in your Bibles or even up here, you'll notice that the Lord is in all capital letters. And the reason why it's in all capital letters is because God has many names, as we know. But the Lord, when it's in capital letters, it means Yahweh. So every time you see the Lord in capital letters, it's referring to the original name of God, Yahweh. And so he's saying, Moses, what I want you to tell the people is my name. And my name is Yahweh. This is what you're to say. You are to say that I am who I am. That you're supposed to tell them, I am has sent you. And I don't know if Pastor Sam has shared this with you, but the significance of that is, I am. What is that? That's like an incomplete thought. That's like so vague, so out there. But basically, I am is coming to you. Whatever you need peace, I am peace. Come on, somebody. You need joy, I am joy. You need strength, I am strength. I am is who is coming to you. Whatever you need, whatever you desire, I am is coming to you. Can I get an amen? Amen. You need forgiveness. I am. You need strength. I am. I am coming to you. But then he says, my name, Yahweh, the Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, has sent me to you. I want you to understand this. He says in verse 15, this is my name forever. Think about it. When God is saying, I want you to tell people, this is my name forever, there's incredible significance to his name. When he's trying to tell all of the nation of Israel and for future generations that this is my name forever, anybody can understand, this is probably a big deal. This is a big deal. My name, Yahweh. And God is revealing this to him because, once again, the Jewish understanding of names reveals who that person is. And God is revealing himself to Solomon's porch this weekend. And God is going to reveal himself to you in the next couple days. Why? Because he wants you to know him. He wants you to know what he's all about. Over 7,000 times in the scriptures, I counted them each, every single one of them. Just kidding, that's not true. But 7,000 times is the Lord in capital letters in your Bible, is Yahweh revealed and translated as Lord in capital letters. It's because God is a person and he has a name. And his name is Yahweh. See, because I have a lot of titles. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a pastor. And that's what people know me as. But I have a name. And I have a personal name. And my name is Eugene. And my son's name is Elijah. And so by giving us a personal name, God is trying to demonstrate to us, check this out, that he's not a force. He's not even a being that is abstract in the heavens. Even before the incarnation, even before Jesus Christ came to us so that we would know God in a personal way through his son Jesus, even before that, he says to Moses, I want you to tell the people my name, my personal name. My personal name is not Elohim. My personal name is Adonai. My personal name is Yahweh, and I want the people to know that because that is my name forever. I'm not just an abstract being. I want you to know my personal name. I want you to know me personally. This is even before Jesus. God wants his people to know him personally. But somehow throughout the years, throughout history, the Jewish people somehow treated God's name so sacredly, and many of you may know this, that they wouldn't even say the name. That they wouldn't want to disrespect the holiness of God by even pronouncing the name. So they would say in Hebrew, Baruch Hashem, which means bless the name. They would never say the name Yahweh. They would go around it. And in Asian culture, at least in Korean culture, you may understand sort of that dynamic or that culture. I remember one time growing up as a second generation born in the States, I remember one time calling my mother by her personal name. Oh, and you can imagine to her shock, you know, she practically slapped me upside the head, you know, just like, you don't ever call me by my name. I was like, why not? You know, that's your name, you know, and if you grew up in an Asian church, can you imagine calling your senior pastor? Hey, what's up, Young? What's up, Sang? You know? Man, that's like the ultimate disrespect. You don't call people in honored positions by their personal name. That's just a culture. And so this is sort of how the Jews have treated the name of God. I mean, his name is more sacred and holy than any other name. And so they would go around that by saying Baruch Hashem, bless the name. Or they would say Adonai, Lord. But when you say, and they wouldn't even pronounce it, but when the name, when God's personal name, Yahweh, is mentioned in the scriptures 7,000 times, I kind of get the feeling that he wants us to know his name. I kind of get the inclination that he wants people to understand and know the name Yahweh. And by knowing his name, it brings us into greater intimacy. There's parodies and spoofs of one-night stands and how guys hooking up with girls and they have a one-night stand and they wake up in the morning and they don't even know the person's name. It's because knowing a person's name is an intimate thing, that there's a level of intimacy and closeness to knowing that person's name. And here is God, Almighty, maker of the heavens and the earth, and he wants us to know his personal name, Yahweh. There are plenty of examples. I can't go over all 7,000, but Joshua 10:12 talks about how Joshua spoke to Yahweh. Judges 1:11, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked Yahweh, who will go first and who will go up and fight for us? And so people of Israel, God wanted people of Israel to know him by his name. In fact, in Ruth 2, and I think we have it on the screen, Ruth 2, I just want to put this in perspective. I'll just trust me then. Okay, believe me. You can read that later. Then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. Yahweh be with you. And their response, Yahweh bless you, they answered. And so they would greet each other. Yahweh be with you. Yahweh bless you. And so there's this even exchange of using Yahweh's personal name. 1 Samuel 17:37, David is speaking, and it says, it was Yahweh, the Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion, the paw of the bear, and will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and may Yahweh be with you. And so now when you read the scriptures and you read that Lord in capital letters, I want you to have a different understanding of what that is. It's Yahweh's personal name. It's a name that grows intimacy between you and God the Father. It is a name that has been exchanged from person to person. May Yahweh bless you. May Yahweh be with you. Now what's fascinating is that scholars have done the grammar behind Yahweh and that name. And interestingly enough, Yahweh is not a noun. It is actually a verb. Now, some of you are going to get this. The fact that God's personal name is not a noun, but it is a verb. In fact, it is a verb in the imperfect tense, signifying that it is a never-ending, continuous, unfinished action. That Yahweh's name is a verb that is a continuing, unfinished action. And what does that mean then? The fact that the name of God, Yahweh, is a verb in the imperfect tense. It's saying that Yahweh is alive and he's continuing to work and proclaim himself all over this world. That he's not the God of our forefathers. He is the God of our children. He's the God of us today. He's the God for here and now. He is the God for you and I. God, Yahweh, a verb. He wants to reveal his name. Up in heaven, the angels are crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Yahweh Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." I've heard pastors, including myself, say, "Man, when you receive salvation and you get to go to heaven, you know what we're going to do for the rest of eternity? We're going to be joining with the angels and we're going to be singing, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty,' 24/7, all day, all night. We're going to be saying, 'Holy, holy, 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 holy.'" I'm like, "Really? That's not very attractive to me. That's not a very good incentive for me to go to heaven." But the truth is, according to the scriptures, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be worshiping God 24/7, and we're going to be joining with the angels, and the angels are on their faces saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God." Really? Can I watch some SportsCenter sometime? You know, I want to do something. But then what you have to understand, that it ties in with the name Yahweh, because Yahweh is constantly revealing himself and different things about himself constantly up in heaven. We only get a fraction, a glimpse of that here on the earth. I don't know who you follow these days. I think maybe because Pastor Sam, you might follow Lakers, you know, you might have to, you know, or whatever. But back in our day, it was Michael Jordan, you know, and things. And you know, it was so fascinating that Jordan was just an incredible, almost borderline miraculous basketball player, the greatest of all time. And he would do things that no one had ever seen. And we would watch highlights on SportsCenter, and the crowd simultaneously, even ourselves watching it on TV at home, would go, "Holy cow, that was incredible." He would do a 360 tongue out jam underneath, you know, behind. It was just crazy. It was so astonishing. It was incredibly astonishing that you just were so amazed in awe. You're like, "Oh my goodness, that was crazy. We got to watch it again. Next highlight. Same highlight over and over again." You know that one against the Lakers where he just went up like this, tongue out, and then just dipped it under, you know? I've seen that replay like a million times. Every time I'm still astounded and amazed, and I'm like, "Oh my goodness, that's crazy." Kobe does something crazy. It's, "Oh, that's crazy." Anytime in sports and basketball, anybody does a behind-the-back 360, whatever, it's like, "Oh my gosh, that was incredible. Did you see that? That was so amazing. Let's watch it again. Let's watch it again." And they show the same highlight over. As a guy, I could watch the same highlight over and over and over again. And every time, it's like, "Oh my gosh, that was incredible. Did you see that?" And here's God revealing himself in his great glory. And the angels experience God's glory, and all they can do is respond, "Holy, holy." But check this out. He does it again. And the only way they can respond is, "Holy, holy, holy." Because God's magnificence, greater than Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, is incredible. And I guarantee that when you're in heaven and you see the magnified presence of God for yourself, You will be saying, holy cow, and he does it again. Holy, and he does it again. Holy, for all eternity. Demonstrating, demonstrating. And you think it's boring, it will not be boring. Because if you think that Kobe is creative here on this earth, wait till you see the creativity of God in heaven. And you will not help but to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. He did it again. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. See, if we're an African-American church, man, all of you would be up on your feet, raising your Bibles. You'd be like, come on, preach it again. Say it again. Too bad we don't have an organist back here, you know, give me some bams. But we would be here all night. The thing about, kid you not, the thing about African-American worship is they could sing holy, 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 take like five key changes up, you know what I'm saying? Sing it for 45 minutes, and it would still be the most anointed worship. Just three words, holy, holy. It's because of the name Yahweh and what it represents and who he is. And I haven't even gotten to what it means yet. I'm just talking about the gods trying to reveal himself to you. And when you begin to experience that, the angels will only cry out holy because there's a new flow, a new emanation of who he is. And every time they see a new flow, a new emanation, and God is going to do a new thing here at SP, that oh, the only appropriate response is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Can I get an amen? See, because unless someone points this out to you, you will not see the urgency that God the Father has to know his name, to know who he is. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, you know, as the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20. If you're doing all right, someone say, I'm good. Yeah. See, you got to understand, I did youth ministry for 10 years, man. Man, you know, I'm just used to asking them to talk to me because if they don't, then I know they're falling asleep. So it's just a habit, you know, and I just enjoy just interaction, you know, because I'm not just a talking head. I'm, yeah. what I appreciate about Pastor Sam is that he loves to have fun, and I love to have fun too. Here we go, Exodus 20, verse 2. See, now here's a new thing. Here it is. God spoke all these words, and he says, I am what? I am Yahweh. I'm not Adonai. I'm not Elohim. I am Yahweh. I am my personal name, your God. I am Yahweh Adonai, who brought you out of Egypt. In other words, he's saying, I am Yahweh, not Adonai, Elohim. I'm Yahweh, your Elohim. I am God, Elohim, and my name is Yahweh. Here in the Ten Commandments, he says that. And the reason why he does that is because now he wants to enter into relationship, in other words, a covenant with his people. He wants to enter into a relationship, a covenantal relationship, a promise. Like the best way to understand this is a marriage covenant, a marriage relationship, that there is this bonding that cannot be broken, that there's promises to be faithful. There's just an example of that. And that's why he demonstrates his name. He communicates his name, Yahweh, because he wants to enter into this covenant. In Jeremiah 31, he says, a time is coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. And in Luke 22:20, he says, Jesus says, this is my blood shed for you in the new covenant. And so the covenant is fulfilled through Jesus, but God the Father wants a covenant with his people. He wants a relationship. And Jesus says, Yeshua, which is Jesus, said, the Father and I are one. The name of Jesus, Yeshua, means Yahweh saves. And that's significant. Yeshua, the name of Jesus, Yeshua, means Yahweh saves. And that's all great. But now we're going to come to something that when I read this, in light of understanding how God wants to communicate his name, he says something in Exodus 33. Turn there with me, please. And I don't know how you guys have been praying in terms of the future of SP for your personal lives, but I've always prayed, God, show me your glory. I've always wanted to see God demonstrate your power. I want to see God do miracles because we serve a God of miracles. We don't serve an impotent God. We serve a God who is almighty, whose hand is not too short to save. That nothing is impossible for him. In fact, that word impossible just simply means I am possible. Come on, somebody. That nothing is too difficult for him. And then I read this, and I was so humbled, and I was pretty messed up. I felt like after understanding this passage a little bit better, I was like, man, I need to understand the heart of God before I ask for the gifts of God, before I ask for his power and his glory. I've got to understand that God has a heart, and he has something that he wants to demonstrate to us. So we're in Exodus 33, and you know the story, Moses pleads to God, God, I don't want to go unless your presence goes, you know, before me. And God says, yeah, my presence will go. And he says, and then he says this, now show me your glory. Look at verse 18. Moses said, now show me your glory. Show me your glory, right? This is the request that Moses has to God. Show me your glory. So what do you expect? You expect the glory of the Lord. You expect the power of God. You expect something incredible, crazy, miraculous. You expect to see something like Elijah and the prophets of Baal, where fire comes down from heaven and they massacres all the prophets of Baal. You expect that because the request is show me the glory. And if you know anything about God's glory, it's pretty glorious. It's pretty magnificent. But I find so interesting the response of God. And that's what I want to look at. Verse 18, Moses said, now show me your glory. And Yahweh said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, Yahweh, in your presence. What? That's not what I want, man. I want your glory. I cry out for glory. I get on my face for glory. I fast and pray for glory. And what does God respond to the request, show me your glory? He says, all right, I will respond to that, and I will tell you my name. I will proclaim my name. And he says, Yahweh. Come on, God, I need something better than that, man. I need something better than knowing your name. I need your glory. Or are we missing something? Does God respond with proclaiming his name because there's something about his name that is glorious, something about his name that is powerful? And he says, you cannot see my face in verse 20, for no one may see me and live. Yahweh, 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 show me your glory. And his response is, I will. I will proclaim my name. No, show me your glory. Show me your power. Yes, I will declare my name. No, no, no. Show me miracles. Show me mountains that move. Show me power. Show me these things. Yes, I will show you my name. And my name is Yahweh. And then we jump to chapter 34, the very next chapter. Because believers are those who believe and do not see. My feelings that I have, despite my circumstances, are not indicators of who God is. But we look at chapter 34, verse 5. And I will tell you this, that this verse is the most incredible revelation of the essence of God in the entire Bible besides the incarnation of Jesus. This verse is an incredible revelation of his name. And he says in verse 5 of chapter 34, then the Lord, Yahweh, came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. In other words, he's saying the Lord, and he says it twice. Yahweh, Yahweh El is the original Hebrew. Yahweh, Yahweh El. He repeats his name twice. And if from scholars, they'll tell you that why does God repeat his name? It's for emphasis. And in this case, it is for emphasis. Yahweh, Yahweh. But it's also that he's swearing by himself. And in fact, there's when you swear against somebody, you begin to use that as a standard, that I swear against, you know, someone of authority that was trustworthy. And since God is God, there's no one greater than himself. So he just swears by his own name. And so he says, Yahweh, Yahweh El. In fact, Hebrews 6:13, you can look it up later, 6:13 of Hebrews. He says that there's no one greater to swear by, so he swears to himself. And he's saying, Yahweh, Yahweh El. Verse 5, the Lord came down in clouds, stood there, and proclaimed his name Yahweh. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming Yahweh, Yahweh El. And now he's beginning to reveal his name, beginning to reveal what his name means. And so God has to be very deliberate in what he's trying to communicate, what his name means. And the very first thing he says, Yahweh, Yahweh El, the compassionate. Yahweh, Yahweh El, the compassionate. The very first thing that he wants his people to know about him is Yahweh, Yahweh El, compassionate. He wants you to know that he's compassionate. But this word compassionate, obviously in the English, doesn't fully reflect exactly what he wants to communicate. So we've got to go back into the Hebrew. And that Hebrew word is rachum. Rachum, which is better translated as the womb, as a mother is giving birth, as the baby is in the womb. That word rachum is the compassion that a mother has for the fetus inside of her womb. And so Yahweh's love of compassion and his feeling for his people is like a mother who has feelings for the unborn baby, the fetus inside her womb. And there's a tenderness to that. There's a loyalty to that. There's devotion. There's protection. Just think of a mother who is housing a brand new baby inside of her womb. This word, rachum, is translated as compassion, but it's so much more deeper than just feeling sorry for somebody. I think our idea of compassion is that we look at Africa and we see starving babies and our heart breaks. Oh, that's too bad. You know, my heart goes out to them. Let's give $30 to World Vision. And I feel better. My conscience is better. I've done my job. And we have compassion. But that is not the compassion that God has for his children. The compassion that he has is not feeling sorry. It's not pity. It's not, I hope somebody does something. Maybe I can do something about it. It is this protective, this tender, this loyal, this devoted, compassionate type of love. It is the first bond that, like a mother has when the child comes out of the womb. It's that first bond. And that is the type of love and compassion that God wants to reveal to us as his people. Yahweh, Yahweh El, compassionate and gracious God. He's compassionate and gracious. That Hebrew word is chanun, which actually means favor. That he has given you favor, that he favors you, that he stoops down and favors you. He favors you. Slow to anger. That word is erek, which is slowing to anger. The actual word is apayim, which is a plural form of anger. What does that mean? That there's many types of angers? Of course. But when you pluralize something, it's added for emphasis. So it's not necessarily more than one or two angers. But he's slow to all sorts of incredible degrees of anger. He is slow to anger. He's slow to anger in the utmost. And he is patience. For the scripture says that God is not slow as we understand slowness, but he is patient so that no one would perish. So far, as we read this description, this is probably far from many of the fathers and the dads that many of us in Asian cultures can understand. Would the first words that you would describe your earthly fathers, my dad is compassionate and gracious and slow to anger. No, it'd be, my dad is uptight, angry and has a quick temper, And unfortunately, our image of God is sort of reflected by our image of our own earthly fathers. And so we think that God is this angry God waiting for us to mess up, waiting to strike us down, waiting to strike down justice upon us, waiting to punish us, because our understanding of him is that he is holy and that that he wants to punish sin. And yes, he is holy. But he wants you to know that his name is Yahweh. His personal name is Yahweh. And he is first compassionate. And he is gracious. And he is abounding in grace, slow to anger. Next, abounding in love and faithfulness. You know that word abounding, Rob, means overflowing, unlimited, beyond measure, without condition, abounding, overflowing. Abounding in what? Loving kindness and truth. Loving kindness, chesed, is this faithful, unfailing, covenant love. A love that has no condition. A love that no matter how much you hurt him, no matter how sinful you are, no matter how bad you treat him, his love is unfailing, covenantal, promises through the thick and the thin to be with you. He is abounding in that. Hallelujah. He is abounding, unlimited, faithful, covenant love. And it keeps on coming, and it keeps on coming, and it keeps on coming. When I used to work with teenagers, one of the biggest things is they would not understand the unconditional love of God. And when they begin to know the name Yahweh, and when they begin to know what he is about and what his name represents, they have become so broken and overwhelmed by this chesed, this abounding loving kindness, because they understand, or they thought that they were so bad that even God couldn't love them. Why would he? But here is what blows our hearts away, is that no matter how bad you are, think about the Apostle Paul and how bad he was. Think about the worst things that you could ever do. God is abounding in love and faithfulness. Can I get an amen? That's why Jesus on the cross was able to look at the thief next to him, able to look at the Roman soldiers who crucified him, and said, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they do," because he is abounding in loving kindness. Can I get an amen? Abounding in love and faithfulness. Faithfulness, loving kindness, and faithfulness. As we see Jesus as a reflection of who God is, the perfect representation of who God is, we see Jesus being truth, being faithfulness. Psalm 85 says, "Love and faithfulness meet together, righteousness and peace kiss each other." And in Psalm 92, he says, "I will declare my loving kindness in the morning and my faithfulness at night." And in John 1:14, when he talks about Jesus, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. For we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." And it says this description, "Full of grace and truth." In other words, full of chesed and emeth, truth. That Jesus, full of grace and truth. My brothers and sisters, the name of God, his personal name, is Yahweh. And he wants you to know his name. That his name is above any other names. That he is compassionate, full of grace, and abounding in love and faithfulness. My prayer for us this afternoon is that God would be so close to you that you would be able to say his name, Yahweh. And as you say his name, Yahweh, as you breathe, Yahweh, that may his name be the substance of your breath. In fact, scholars say that the name Yahweh simulates breath, that every time you say his name, Yahweh, 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 it is the breath of God. Because in the beginning, God breathed into Adam, and he became a man. And as we say his name, Yahweh, could it be possible, every time that we breathe, that we declare his name, Yahweh, that he is Yahweh, who is gracious and compassionate, abounding in love and faithfulness. "This is my name," the Lord says. "This is my name forever. I want you to know it." May the Lord demonstrate his faithfulness as we worship and as we say his name and as we continue to proclaim his name to the nations. May Solomon's Porch be a group that declares the name Yahweh to the nations, to the world, that would people would begin to hear the name Yahweh, that they would experience his compassion, that they would experience his abounding in love and faithfulness. That is my prayer for us this afternoon. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, your name is not just any other name. It is the name that is above all other name. That everything else doesn't take the place that you take, God. For your name is gracious. It is compassionate, full of love and truth. God, I pray that you reveal your name to our hearts. God, I pray that you would no longer be this abstract body, but that you would be the person that you are, Yahweh. So we say your name. We declare your name. And we want your name to be known throughout the earth. We want your name to be famous throughout this earth, God. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. And I pray that you would reveal your heart to Solomon's Porch. Bless your name, Baruch Hashem. In your son's name, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hey, I didn't know you're such a good teacher, man. Wow. Jesus? Hey, praise God. Hey, we actually have quite a bit of time. Like I said, Pastor Eugene is very pastoral, right? So he doesn't speak that long, unlike other people that you know. What we're going to do is we're just going to order some food, right? And we're just going to hang out. And our next service is at 7. And so we have a little bit of time. If you want to get a chance to get to know Pastor Eugene, he's here. We're going to just relax. We'll just order a bunch of food and then hang out. If you want to go eat, you can do that as well, right? And so, it's only 3:15. Wow. Very un-SP-like, yeah. We can play Monopoly downstairs. Right? I'll destroy you guys. Then the spirit might leave if we do that. But yeah, let's just have fun, relax. We're going to order some pizza. I hope that's okay with you guys, and some ribs and stuff like that. The food will probably be about 45 minutes, and so probably a good opportunity for you to get to know Pastor Eugene, and Pastor Carol is in the back as well with, you can see little man Elijah, right, and stuff. And so bless you guys. We'll see you back at 7. If you want to hang out, please hang out. How many of you guys are going to stay to grab some food? We know how to order. Oh, not too many of you guys. Okay. We're going to order right now. Well, it's going to take like 45 minutes or so, right? So, okay. Wow, we got so much free time. Wow, what do we do? Okay. All right. See you guys at tonight at 7, right? And the others that stick around, we'll get some stuff.